Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the session. Let me introduce myself. I'm Sashi Singaravel. I'm the program manager in Groups team, and I've been primarily driving the guest access and groups initiative for the team. And I'm very excited to have this opportunity here to share how we are extending the collaboration beyond organization boundaries using Office 365 groups. And now, we all have come to Ignite from different places, and from, more importantly, different organizations. And over this past 2 days, we've been interacting with a lot of people here. It could be a customer, it could be a partner, a subject matter expertise. And I believe you have gathered a lot of information. And when you get back on Monday, back at work, you probably want to leverage some of those connections for your team's productivity, for your organization's productivity. So I'm here to, my goal here for the next 45 minutes is to enable you to stay connected with that people, even though they are beyond your organization boundaries, ensuring that the content and the data that you have sharing with these people are secure and compliant. As all of you know today, there are a lot of tools out there to share these data and content with external users. The question is, are they secure and compliant, and are they meeting your organization needs? And today, I want to kind of go over this in three different areas. One is general overview. What does an end user get, and how can I bring in these users? Number two, I also want to say, hey, as IT admins, do I have control over these users who are coming into? Do I know what they're accessing? Do I know what data they're getting access to? No. And lastly, as a PM on this feature, I love to know, who are these users coming in? How is this feature being used? And I'm sure you have the same intent too, right? These users are coming in. How are they using this feature? How are they using these, leveraging their data to meet their collaborative needs? So that's the last section we'll be covering about how can you make sure that the guests are coming and having the right access. We'll go through the overview, and I want to pause here for a minute. We interact with at least one of these type of personas today. And I want to pause here for a minute. How often have you had to share a file or a folder with someone outside your organization? And how many times you had to go do it just to get a project done? And then how often have you started a conversation and then, oops, I forgot to add this user, and you go add that user again? And you had to add them explicitly. On that group, you had to add them explicitly for every conversation. And the chances are, sometimes you miss. Sometimes they miss that meeting. That's more important. So let's look at how we can kind of alleviate some of those pain points and see how we can extend the collaboration beyond our boundaries. Now I'm gonna take some time here to walk through the end user experiences in terms of both adding of a guest and what guests get access to. With that, let me introduce the persona that I'm gonna be talking about here. Sarah is a product marketing manager for Contoso, and she is given the initiative to go do the campaign for the new product line. So she went and created a group called Marketing Campaigns. And as you can see here, she's been interacting with Robin, who's from a partner company, and Fabrice, who's a freelance designer from an advertising company, in putting these things together. And as you can see, she started off a conversation, and she put both of them together. And later, Julian, he shares the document, and he definitely missed them. And you can see there is a meeting. Again, they missed that. So now she learns about the guest access feature, and she's like, I'm gonna go add them as members. So that's what I'm gonna be walking you through throughout this demo. She goes to the membership view. She goes and adds these users. Robin, who is from the different tenant. Imagine that it's a Fabricum. It's my demo tenant, but if you can imagine that. And Fabrice Walter at gmail.com, whom she's been interacting. One thing let me point out here. You see there is a warning or an information given to the owner of the group to say, hey, you're adding a user, a guest user who's an external to this organization, and know that they're gonna get access to the group content. And also, if you can see, the user is visually differentiated by putting a globe next to his email address, and also clearly saying he's a guest user. I'm going to add one more user here. Juliet Walter, who is also the freelance designer that we've been working with. I'll go ahead and save. At this point, what is happening underneath the covers is that this user is being created and is also being added to the group. The user is created in the directory and being added to the group. And as you can see, now a few things I want to call out here that changed. The marketing campaigns now has a visual representation that there is a guest present in the group. And also, the type of the group clearly says it's a public group with guests. And as you can see, the guest got added. And I want to kind of show you, let me show you a regular member first. This is how their contact card is. But look at the guest contact card. There's only a very minimal information we know about them. It's just the email address. So if you look at their contact card, it's just the email that we know about them. And more importantly, I don't have the ability, even though I'm an owner, I don't have the ability to promote them as an owner. So we say a guest is coming as a member, but not being promoted as an owner because we don't want to give them any CRUD actions. So that's how the membership is. Now, I'm going to jump into the conversation. So Sarah just returned from her holidays, and she wants to know how people are executing on their effort. So she reached out to them. Note that there's a mail tip here. Typically, when we add someone to the to line, we get a mail tip clearly saying that there is a recipient external to the organization. Similarly, we use the same paradigm that we had done even for DL when you can configure the external recipients, the same paradigm we have enforced here, and it'll just say this group has external owners. So for example, in the to line, if you had more than one group, it'll clearly tell you which groups have guests. In this case, I'm just using this group, but you can imagine that. Can you share, if you can type. On the campaign effort. She fires that email off to the people. She's basically sending to the group, as you noticed. Now, I'm going to shift gears, and I'm going to be the other organization user, who is Robin. And we're going to bring up her view of inbox. Now, notice that she's gotten a welcome email from the marketing campaign group that Sarah just invited her to. So I'm going to spend really good few minutes here because it's very important to understand what a guest gets. As you can see, the name of the group is the first thing that shows up. Good. And then it also says the type of group and also gives an idea how many people are in that group, right? And also gives a brief description of what that group is up to. And also tells us, if you look, there is an email and there is a group file. It just says that this user now can send email to the group and participate in the group conversations and the calendar invites. And also, she has access to the group files. And then she also gets a little preview of the members who are in the group. It's just to bring, you know, in this case, she knows she's been interacting with Sarah. Obviously, that's the person who invited, and she knows that she's been interacting with Fabrice. So it just brings familiarity, and it just puts her at ease. And now, she's also clearly told that she's going to be receiving these messages. And she has an option to stop receiving those by leaving the group. Lastly, I do want to call your attention to this particular thing here. It's very important. So one of the things we realized is that when you bring in external users, you actually want to provide them with some guidelines to follow, right? Because you have your own organization requirements, you have certain rules and regulations for you, and you want to make sure they follow that. So you could actually customize this URL to point to any external URL that you may put together for these users who are coming into this organization. In this case, I'm just pointing to Microsoft.com, and you could imagine that to be an external URL that you want to. And in this case, Robin just decides to view the files. Hey, what's going on? Let me catch up. As you can see, she was already signed in to her account in her email. So she's authenticated against her account before she going to the Contoso tenant, and she's authenticated, and then since she's able to access those group files, she's redirected directly to that files. Now, let me come back to hers, and something else that I wanted to show you in the files view is that she also gets access to the OneNote, or the notebook that's associated with the group. So it's right from her inbox. She is now able to participate in a group that she doesn't even own, but she is actually collaborating with somebody in a different organization. That's how easy it is for Robin to collaborate with Sarah now on the same effort. Now I'm going to switch gears again, and I'm going to become the Fabrice persona, who was a Gmail user. As you can see, I'm going to just do a refresh here. Let me make sure I added the right user. Go to the membership. I definitely misspelled that. Go ahead and save it. And let me pull up Fabrice's account here. So again, the same thing. Fabrice gets an email exactly the same way as Sarah did, as Robin did. Now, I do want to go back to see and show you something. That another email that he got was, Garth is invited to some group, and he's not sure what this is about, and he hasn't interacted with Garth before. And at this point, he decides to leave the group. And he clicks on the leave the group, and as you can see, it gives warning to say, hey, you're about to leave the group, and are you sure you want to? Because you no longer will receive messages from this group, and you no longer will have access to the documents from this group. And he decides, yes, I'll just go ahead and leave because I really don't know about this group, and he clicks OK. Once he gets OK, he gets a confirmation that he's left the group. Now, he goes back to triaging his mails, and he happens to see that he got the message saying you have left the group. At this point, he also gets an option to join back, as you can see in here, if you change your mind and want to continue. And in this case, he said, he's giving it a second thought and say, hey, I might as well just join back. And he does request to join. What happens here is that that request is sent to the owners of the group. So in this case, Sarah is an owner of the group, and now we'll navigate back to Sarah's inbox. And as you can see, Fabrice's request to join the group has come back to Sarah. So at this point, Sarah is one of the owners, and she decides to approve the request. This flow is exactly the same as you can imagine, you know, when a private group, today we have a member can join the group, and when he or she can request to join the group, it's a similar flow. And so now she decides to add him back, and he adds him back. And if I go back to Fabrice's account here, I get a welcome email back. So you can see how someone is invited, and someone can continue participating, and they can choose to leave, and they can come back if they need to. So you can see how that life cycle of that user is, right? He comes in, collaborates, or leaves, and he gets to come back in. Now, another key point that I want to show you, let's see what's going on here. So Garth has shared a file with the marketing team, and Fabrice wants to take a look at it. He clicks on it. At this point, Fabrice@gmail.com is asked to sign in, because what he is signed in is to his Gmail account. And any consumer, let me pause here and kind of share with you some of the things that happens, right? So we saw Robin, who is an ID account or organizational account, and we're looking at a Gmail account, which is a consumer account. What we have here for the guest access, what we are saying is with the organization account with Office 365, you go ahead and sign in with whatever account you have. But in the case of consumer, what we are saying is you need to go get a Microsoft account to go get access to these groups. So in this case, Fabrice happens to have a Microsoft account, so he will be directed to a Microsoft sign-in page. And in here, again, if you notice that, no confusion, he came in with a certain email address, and that email address is carried through. And in here, I'm going to type in his password. Hopefully I got that right. And at this point, He's signed in, he's authenticated, and the ACL is checked, and he gets access to the document. And from here, he also can access the group. When he accesses the group, he gets access to the files that was shared in the group. And again, if you can see, the access that they get is very scoped to the group that they are part of. They don't get access to any directory or any other information. It's very scoped. And he also gets access to the notebook, as you can see. Now, as you can see, I just want to quickly call your attention to this line item here. As you can see, this is a file that was modified by a guest user. So as you can imagine, when folks start collaborating, it's both people from the organization and people outside the organization having access, changing the content, and helping and collaborating, sharing the information. A lot of goodness there, right? Now, the last point that I wanted to kind of convey here is that, as you saw in all of my actions, Sarah was the one who was adding the guest, nobody else, which means the owner of the group is the only one who gets to add a guest to the group, nobody else. And owner is the only person who gets to approve any request that's coming from the guest. So the addition of a guest is completely controlled by the owner. There's yet another person who gets the control too, tenant admin. Tenant admin can choose to add a guest to group. Right. With that, I'm gonna switch gears and go back to the slides here. Okay, so what did we see? We saw the guest gets access to the group messages, group calendar, the OneNote, and the files, and there's more to come. One of the things that's coming up in the pipeline for us is the planner integration. We know it's very important for folks to say, can I assign tasks to guests? Because I'm collaborating with these people outside my organization. I should be able to assign tasks, them coming and kind of track the progress. So that's one of the things that's coming later in the year. And as we have laid the fundamentals out, we will be building more and more stuff on this one, as you can imagine. Now, and as far as the guest addition goes, today, whatever I showed you is on Outlook on web, but before the end of the year, you will see these things in, coming soon, it will be in mobile, and also in Outlook desktop. You should be able to add guests through those three endpoints as well. Next thing I want to talk about is a little bit of the nuts and bolts that happens in there. As you can see, guest by definition itself is an external identity. Though the credential is not managed by the IT organization to which they are invited to. And also, one thing to remember is it's a single identity in that organization, and it is mastered in AAD, just like how group is. So that's why we are able to connect these Office 365 users or services to that same single entity. And also remember that access can be restricted to the policy defined by the organization. And I'll go deeper into what I mean by that. And also a quick preview of what does it look like. And I'll also go through that with the flow. Before I dive into that, I wanna share with you the three major ways today you can add guests to your organization. Number one, just like I showed you can add them through groups. Number two, today when you go share a file or a folder with an external user, a guest user is created in the directory. And lastly, through Azure B2B service, users from partner companies or a federated tenant can be added as well as guests to the target tenant that you're inviting them to. So these are the three major ways today that guests are being added to Office 365, to your directory, through your directory. So I want to go through the flow that we saw and a little bit of what is happening behind the scenes. So like here, Sarah just added Robin to the group. A shadow representation of this guest user is created in the target tenant. And the next thing you know, the messages start flowing. If you can imagine, this is very similar to what you did with the distribution group and a mail contact. You add them in, they start getting the messages. Now, when she's ready to access a file, that's when she signs in and authenticates herself. And that's when there is a reference or a pointer that goes back and forth between the target tenant and the home tenant, right? And the same holds true even for consumer accounts, any of the consumer accounts, a Gmail account, Yahoo account, be it any account. This is very important for you to understand. So this is the first case where Robin at Fabricm, it's an organizational user, they sign in and with their existing Office 365 account and they get access to these group resources that's from the target tenant. The next two cases where mgarcia@outlook.com, which is obviously an MSA account, and fabrizewalter@gmail.com, as you saw, is also has an MSA account because they already went and signed up for an MSA account. They just use their MSA account to sign in to get access to this group content. Lastly, a user who doesn't have an MSA, what is the flow they go through? They will be redirected, as you saw, they will be redirected to the sign up page, where all they have to do is choose a password for themselves and they continue going. So we don't take them to this very elaborate form where they have to fill everything. All they have to do is choose a new password that they want to use to access these resources. And once an MSA is created for that Gmail account, it sticks to them. So if they are invited to another organization on that same email address, they can continue using that same MSA account to access the resources from the other channel as well. Next, I want to move on to the admin functionalities and the controls. I know it's very important for us to keep our data and content very secure and compliant. And knowing, we want to know that who are we inviting to and who gets to invite them, right? So let me go through the controls that are available to you today. Today we see them as two parts. Two parts in the sense that who gets to add a guest, or when they get to add, or to which groups they get to add, or where they get to add. And the second one is, what do they get access to, right? On the first one, at the addition part, we have a control at the organization level. You can choose to say, yes, I allow guests to be added to my organization through any group. And then we also have a granular control to say, guests can be added to a specific group. Let me kind of give you a scenario where I can think how both are useful. Say I have turned it on for my organization, but I know there are certain groups that I really don't want guests to be in there because I'm really talking some confidential information. That's when you would go use the specific group setting to say, do not allow guests to be added to this group, and you would go toggle that setting to off. And the other scenario I can think about is, I get about the guest access, but maybe I'm not ready. And that's when we would suggest that you can still keep the guest organized. You can go turn it on for a few groups, add a few guests, and come back and turn it off for at the organization level. When you turn it off at the organization level, what happens is that it doesn't allow adding of any new guests to any more groups. So you can be more in the pilot mode to say, hey, I've added guests to these five groups. I'm going to see how that works, and then I'm ready for the entire organization. So you have that flexibility as well. Let me talk about the last setting there, guest access to group resources. This, you can think about a setting where I don't want any external users in my organization at all accessing any content. You just go flip that. That they don't get access to any of the group content when they have that setting on. So for example, I was talking about the piloting case. So here's how I see, or here's how we actually even did in Microsoft, how we went by this, is that we had the access turned on. We went and added the guests to a few groups, and we turned it off at the org level. So we tried it out. We made sure our data and everything is compliant and secure, and then we opened out for the entire organization. So that's how we have done. So I can see some folks who are not ready kind of going that route. Now, these settings are available through Office 365 portal. I'll do a little demo to show you where you can go do that setting. Although the specific group setting is only available through PowerShell and Graph API. We are working on to get it to on the portal as well. Next, I know for those folks who are very good at scripting and love scripting, we do have all of them in the PowerShell. So these are out there in the admin help. The documentation is out there, so you can actually get to that as well. I want to catch up on the last point that I didn't explain in the previous slide, the usage guidelines to guests. This is yet another property on the policy object that you can set to say, hey, this is the URL that I was showing on the welcome email that gets put in every welcome email that's being sent to the guest user. If you have specified, that portion of the welcome email will show up. So it's a good way to tell your external users what they need to be compliant to, a good information for them to, from your organization part, to say, hey, these are the things that we need to make sure you guys follow when you're accessing any of our resources. It's a good way to convey that information. I'm gonna cover in the next demo both administration controls and let me just get that ready here. Okay. So I'm on the admin portal and I'm at the admin center. And as you can see, I am at under settings, I'm at the security and privacy. And there's a block here that's called sharing. Let me talk a bit about that. This is a setting at the AAD level, at the Azure level, that says, do not allow adding of any new users to my organization at all. So what happens in terms of Office 365? So for example, if this is off, your B2B service will be off. And also, any invitation or any addition to guests of new guests will be blocked. Although the existing guests will still stay. The one piece that is not honoring this one is actually SharePoint invitation today. They're in the process of reconciling it, but until then, this switch will not have any effect on the sharing scenarios that is in the SharePoint. Now you can go ahead and edit this setting. In this case, I'm just gonna not edit it, I'm just showing the way you can edit it. And now I'm gonna show you where is the group specific settings. So I'm navigating to services and add-ins, and I'm gonna go to the Office 365 groups. And as you can see, the first one talks about the access. When this is turned on, the guest users have access to the group resources that they got added to or invited to, only to those groups. On the second one is the organization level switch that I talked about where you can block users from being added to any of the group within the organization. So these are the tenant level switches right now. And I did mention that the group specific switch is available through Partial, and soon you will start seeing it in the portal as well. So that's how you can control the addition and access in terms of controls. Now I'm gonna switch gears and go to where do I see the audits? Where do I see when I invited the user? Where do I see when the user first time he signed in, right? First time he came to the organization. So you would go, you would get that information from audit report, and you're looking for two different things in particular, right? There is add member action and everything, but you're looking for invite external user, and somewhere in here should be redeem external user. Those are the two signals that tells you that the user was invited to the organization for the first time, and the user signed in for the first time into that organization. And you would see that for each user that is getting to different organizations, they will have that entries in there. And apart from that, you will also have this entry in here, add member. That's when you know that these users got added to that particular group. These are the signals, again, you're looking for, actions you're looking for in these audit reports. Now, let me show you what is available in terms of Office 365 audit report. I'm gonna pick here the one that might be interesting in here is, let me go past it, add member to group. Or you can choose remove member. I'm just gonna choose that for now and do a search. What this does is, you saw there is multiple group actions. You could also see when the group member was removed. I'm just picking an easiest one for here. So here, Sarah added Juliet, Garth added Fabrice. All these data are available to you, and know that these can be exported for you to and import it to any other tool that you may use to munch these results. Lastly, in terms of reporting, I want to show you the report. This is actually in preview mode right now, but this is coming out soon. Is we have provided a separate entry point in Office 365 Groups to see the group's activity. And that's this report here. And this report here, we have added a column here to indicate the number of guests in the group. So this is per group. You could see the member count, the guest count, the type as well. So this should meet some of your needs to say, hey, which groups are they in my tenant, and how many are there, right? And also, we have commandlets. You can use the getMSOL commandlets to really know, and get unified group links commandlets to get the membership information and the guest users in them. The other thing I do want to show you here was I had exported this result over to Excel. Now, as I can see, I can do any filter I want. Basically, I did a filter, guest count equals zero, so I want to show me all the groups where there is a guest. And so you can easily imagine that you can export this into any format that you need in order to figure out where they are and what do they have access. And one key point that I want everyone to take off is that guest as a member in a group has access to every resource within that group. We want them to perform exactly like a member, except for the management actions. The guest cannot create a group, the guest cannot update any membership, guest cannot delete any membership. So the group management actions are blocked. But other than that, they should be able to access as a member would. Okay, now let me switch gears here. So we looked at the demo, and I'm gonna jump into the reporting aspect of it. So as I showed you, you can see that the number of guests invited to the group, you were able to see, oh, which I didn't show you. You could also go to the users, and you will be able to see the user, guest users listed in the Office 365 portal. We're still working on that experiences to be better. You can imagine, like, what if you could filter just the guest users in your organization, something like that. So we're working on those improvements, and we're working with the Office 365 portal team to get that be better and more informative. So you can see some improvements going forward on that area as well. And also, you have the PowerShell commandlets. You can at any time see the settings that is on the group object. And remember that these settings are actually on AAD. It's not on Exchange, it's not just on SharePoint. So these settings, when it's applied to the group construct across the board. So every workload can leverage that setting. And lastly, you also can get some of the rich information through the Get Unified Groups Links commandlet as well. We also saw, from the auditing perspective, we also saw that some of the audits that was available through Azure AD portal and also through Office 365 portal. Again, you're looking for these actions like invite external user and redeem external user for those actions of the first time someone was invited to the organization and the first time he actually signed in, authenticated himself to get access to the group resources. Lastly, we looked at the Office 365 audit log report as well. Here, you can look for the action for add member, which just says when a guest was added. I want to take a couple of minutes to say what are some of the questions that we usually get, and I want to address that in this audience, right? So how does the guest access impact the other features that is in Office 365? For example, I talked about SharePoint. So one thing I want to talk about is the SharePoint, I talked about that setting that is at the org level when you say, allow new invitations, allow new guests to be added to the organization. SharePoint doesn't have an effect on it. That's one. The other one I want to call out here is that whenever I added a guest to a group, and if the guest doesn't have access to the group files, one of two things is happening. Either he wasn't added to the group, or the other thing is the tenant, the external sharing setting at the tenant level off that SharePoint site is possibly turned off at the tenant level or the site setting. So you need to ensure and make sure that the group that you're inviting the users to, the sharing setting on SharePoint is turned on. That's when the guests can access. The reason we actually went with that is we wanted to honor the SharePoint site setting. We didn't want to because there might have been a good reason why the admin went and turned it off. So we still wanted to continue honor that. And we would explicitly say, you have to go turn it on for the guest access to work. And that happens at the tenant level, external sharing should be turned on, and at the site level, settings should also be enabled for the group, the guest to access any group resources, especially the group files. And the next question I want to answer is, are guests synced to on-premises directory in hybrid environments? They are not. Group is a cloud-only construct, and so is a guest right now, a cloud-only construct. The next one I want to address is, can I add mail contacts to group? Currently, that is not supported, but we are looking into ways that we can enable these tenant admins to say, hey, can I convert a mail contact to a guest? So the thinking that we have in that space is that we want to be able to address some of those needs through scripts initially, and we will slowly roll it out in our product. Lastly, can guests access IRM messages? No, they can't access IRM messages. Again, we feel the reason you used IRM messages is some sensitive content, and we think guests possibly don't have an access. So the thing on all these, we really want to know, we know that these are important things, but we also want to know how it is being used, how the guest access feature is being used. So I highly encourage all of you to try and use guest access and let us know what are the things that is really blocking for you, or what are the things that you would like to see in the external collaboration through groups. I don't know if everyone got to attend all the group sessions, but the recordings will be out there. For those who were able to attend, great. And you must have got a sneak peek at the guest access feature in that session. But I would highly encourage you to watch the recordings of these sessions and definitely stop by the booth for any questions that you might have. And we would be very happy to answer that. In fact, after the session, I'll be there, and some of the devs who worked on that feature will also be there. So feel free to stop by. And definitely, extend your collaboration beyond your organization boundaries. You can unleash the 2.5 billion email addresses that's out there, and you can collaborate and use to your goodness and to get the productivity. Remember, when you start using guest access in groups, one thing at least you can be sure is that the data and the content that you are sharing is secure and compliant, unlike any other tools that's out there. So that's the thing I really want to emphasize on and encourage every one of you here to use guest access in groups in your organization. And definitely reach out to us with feedback in our different channels. The one channel that we recommend is the technical community. And there are some links, these deck will be shared out, and there are some links in here that points you to where how you can get started as well. Last but not least, share your feedback about this session. Would love to hear, and so we can improve the content that we share with you in future. And some of the other means that you can stay in touch is the fast track, and also through the tech community. So please let us know how this feature is helping you, how it's not helping you, because we really want to know that so we can address the needs, the customer needs that you have, and to help you with collaboration in general and increase your productivity. And that's all I have. Thanks, everyone.